I don't know about you, but for me, saying that psalm this morning, the psalm response, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. It was really fun. And it just made me think, where's that experience of the Lord has done great things for us? What's that like? So what I want to, in one sense, is address that by looking at how this gospel from chapter 3 in Luke situates us before God and with one another in this season of Advent. And I found it very surprising. So this, the translation I'm using comes from the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. That's the New American Bible. It's basically similar. So the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, the desert. Same thing. Why is that important? What the Gospel of Luke is doing is addressing Gentiles, and that would be us, unless there are any Jews who have become Catholic here. You never know. But it addresses Gentiles, and at the end of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus opens the minds of the 12 and the other disciples to understand how Moses and the prophets and the Psalms addressed why the Christ had to suffer so to enter into his glory. So it's the opening of the mind of the Gentiles to the meaning of the Scriptures that's important. And in the wilderness, you have a couple things here. The wilderness is the place of temptation and trial and failure and grace. So when connecting Luke's language in Greek, in connecting it to the Old Testament in Greek called the Septuagint, they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And so the people complained bitterly against Moses. And then they went another place and there was no food, no meat. And they complained against Moses and God. And in complaining, they were being tested in their trust. And so God provided water and God provided quail and so on. And what John is doing is proclaiming repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Let me just say a few things about that. The verb to proclaim. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor from chapter 4 in Luke. In calling sinners to repentance, it's through the forgiveness of sins. And the Greek word there, aphesis, has a very interesting meaning. It's translated either forgiveness or liberty or jubilee. It refers to the jubilee year, which is what we're starting on Tuesday, December 8th, the year of mercy, the year of freedom, is the forgiveness of debts. Not just God forgiving us, but our forgiving those indebted to us that we hold the chits for there. And it's the forgiveness of sins. Here's the key thing of why this happens in the wilderness. And it's the relationship to the Old Testament. First of all, the meaning of John's life was given in the angel's speech to Zechariah, telling him he's going to have a kid. And your child will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to the people by the forgiveness of their sins. How do we come to know salvation? It's by the experience of forgiveness of sins, or liberty, in its most essential notion. And in the background of this thing is the story of the golden calf in the book of Exodus, chapter 34. You might remember that. Moses goes up on the mountain for 40 days or for a long time, and the people are saying, "Oy vey, we don't know where this guy is. We don't have our leader. Let's build a golden calf. Hey, that'd be fun." So Moses comes down and gets all upset, goes back up, is complaining to God, "I'm going to destroy this people, yada, yada, yada." What comes out of that sin of idolatry is the revelation of the name of God. The Lord, slow to anger and full of constant love, rich in mercy. I can't remember the name of the rest of it. But anyway, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, what happens is that human sinfulness cries out for salvation, and God responds. Very much like what we say in the Exultet at the Easter Vigil. Oh, happy fault. Oh, necessary sin of Adam that gained for us such a Savior. The deal is that even our sinfulness, when it cries out for salvation. Now, I think there's something here about adult forgiveness of sins. And it's not... We don't have too many young people here, so this is the story. For adult forgiveness of sins, it's not about being good little boys or good little girls. What it is coming to an engagement with our lives in greater clarity that says, here I am, here's what I've done, and here's what I'm capable of. Oh, God, help me. And the journey of freedom that takes God and takes our part, as is said in the big book of AA, without God we can't, without us God won't. We're led into that wilderness of our own failure, where our temptations have seen us fall flat, and there, at the very heart of our lives, where we've been most wounded, we call out to God for mercy, forgiveness, and discover salvation. Now, this could go on and on and on. I'm just going to bring this together with one last comment. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Here's the connection to all this stuff. In Luke's gospel, he uses this this verb in Greek, boao, which is a great word, only... Why would he be crying out in the desert? It's not like he's saying they're going, "Hey, you over there." He's not trying to get a cab or anything like that. Who cries out in the Gospel of Luke? Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for suddenly a spirit seizes him, and at once he shrieks. This person is calling out to Jesus to help his son because his son is in distress. In chapter 18, listen to what, talking about the story of the unjust judge and the woman who's banging on the door and won't let him go. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Third, the blind man sitting on the road. Then he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. And they told him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. It's the blind calling out for mercy. Not sight, but mercy. And what John today in the gospel is announcing is that that's what is coming in the person of Jesus to be born. The preparation, I think, is this. Here is my life in the wilderness that I could see more clearly. How? To protect myself. To protect myself from my own vulnerability. I get aggressively defensive against those who get in my way. Here in the wilderness, Lord, I am afraid. I stand before you as one who's terrified of being a creature and will do anything to pretend I'm not. Son of David, have mercy on me. And then in looking to Christmas, the question is, how does God have mercy on you and me? I'm going to invite you now to take a moment. There's some purple sheets in the, who's it, in the pew here. Another time of reflection upon your life. And what's going to happen with these as well as the ones, the blue ones, last week is when we put up the manger, they're all going to go in there. Look at that. There you go. Questions like this. Where do you need God's mercy in your life? Where does the world need God's mercy? Where do we need forgiveness? And how do I show mercy and forgiveness to others? I'm going to go write about that myself, and then we'll continue with the creed.